A Sunlux egy New Yorki experimentális zenekar, ők írták a 2022-es Minden, Mindenhol, Mindenkor című film zenéjét. Vasárnap este a budapesti Dürer kertben játszanak. Ha valaki nem bírta kivárni őket, azon se csodálkoznék. Ma este Gdanskban lépnek fel, ahonnan Zoomon csatlakoznak hozzánk a következő negyed órára. A kísérletezésről, az ingerküszöbről és a folyamatos megújulásról lesz szó. A beszélgetés angolul zajlik. Ryan Lott, Rafik Bhatia és Ian Chung are with us. Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to be here. Yeah.
Did you understand the first few seconds?
Sorry. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, yeah.
No problem at all, right? Okay. Guys, you are in Dunks now. Are you finished with the soundtrack?
No, we're in the middle. So this we can treat this as a nice little break. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So now I get some part of your break. You play at 16 June in Budapest, and now tonight in Dunks, and you are touring in Europe now. Is it different in Europe than in the US?
Yes, it is. I think in general, over the course of our life as a band, Europe has embraced us more than our own home. So it has felt like a home away from home for a while for us, and it's always a joy to come out here, and especially like out here, like in sort of the eastern part, we love touring. It's yeah, really fun. Yeah.
Being an experimental band, let's talk about experimental aspects. So listening to your music means to me that When you do always new things and you try new things, this is about experimental things. So you're trying new things. What does it mean that you escape from something? Or this is, so you always go wherever you started to go, or somewhere else you end up to finish a song?
Yeah.
I don't know what it made sense or not, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. It's a cool question. One of the most wonderful things about the music making process is being surprised.
Hmm.
And if you allow yourself to be surprised, if you create a scenario where you can be surprised, then you can think of each surprise like a door you can go through, a path that you can take to discover new things. So it's not so much about following through on an idea you have at first, at least speaking for myself and to some extent the band, it's more about finding the right starting place where you feel something truly special, and then keeping an open mind in the process as you develop the song or the piece of music, and allowing yourself to change your mind about what should happen.
Yeah. When I first listened to your songs, Martin Gore came to my mind. Martin Gore from Depeche Mode. He had a project in the early 2000s. And when I talk about escape, I think about him, because that was something he did for like over 25 years. And he started new things to, you know, just to explore. And you didn't escape from anywhere, because you started together, so you stayed together. So this is why it wasn't, I didn't think about a force man, but I thought about to get a new scenario in your little universe. So that was the question about.
Yeah, I understand that now. Like, so in his case, I guess he's escaping from sort of like the monument that he built with Depeche Mode and kind of trying to do something else on his own. I think that us as a band, one of the reasons why we're touring still and like actually having more fun than we ever had playing music together, like even though we've been together 9 years, is that we've given each other the space to do our own thing over the course of our time as a band. So like we've all released our own albums. And yeah, I think it helps kind of feed the inspiration back into the band as well as each of us individually. And I think in a lot of ways, for me personally, like making music in general and experimenting with music, it is an escape, but it's also like an engagement with like myself and my collaborators and with the world around me. That's kind of one of the cool things about music too, is like it can be both, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Rafik, what do you say? You never spoke to me before. I think sometimes you're sleeping. Are you okay?
Maybe I am sleeping. Maybe I'm dreaming.
That's why he wears the sunglasses.
Let me say you were the funniest part of the band. The funniest member.
Have you seen that clip of Duke Ellington where somebody's interviewing him and they're like, oh, like, can you play something for us on the piano? And he's like, oh, this isn't music. This is dreaming. And then he plays the most beautiful thing ever.
Okay. I got you. Now you're playing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, I don't know that I have anything to add to that answer because you guys covered a lot of ground there. But I'd happily answer your next question.
Okay, the next one is about Everything Everywhere All at Once. How many times you've been asked about this film? I think that's a benchmark, no?
It's quite a surreal thing to have been a part of. And it was a deep honor and one of our favorite creative endeavors we've ever kind of engaged in, I think. We found out actually the day before the Oscars that we were the first people that they hired to work on the film. So like they hadn't even cast it yet. It was back in 2019. And the Daniels, Daniel Kwan, Daniel Scheinert, they're really extremely visionary people and great directors. And they, from the very start of the project, had such a clear idea of what they wanted to do. And it's crazy and kind of like, you know, like it feels like it's like a train that could fall off the tracks at any time. Mm-hmm. But like that belies the fact that those guys are actually like extremely rigorous and thoughtful filmmakers, and that there are so many nuances and details and surprises. Like you could watch that film 20 times and you'd keep finding new little Easter eggs that are tucked in there. So it was a beautiful thing to just get to be surrounded by folks who are pushing the boundaries of their respective fields. And also we were all kind of like inspiring each other, I think. Like there was a lot of, we would see like a new draft of something and another department would have done such a good job that we would just be like, oh man, we got to go back and try to make the music better. So, you know, like it was a great experience in that way. And I don't think any of us were expecting that it would have the connection with as many people as it has had. But that's a beautiful thing. I think, you know, Ian and I, especially like we come from immigrant backgrounds. Like, you know, Ian is an immigrant to the United States. I'm a first generation American. And, that's something that, like, I don't think either of us has seen a movie that did as convincing of a job of reflecting what it feels like to have that experience, how prismatic and kind of, like, multicolor and hard to pin down and describe it as, you know? And every other movie we've seen that has tried to do it has kind of been reductive, you know? It's, like, tried to, like, boil that experience down to an essence. But I think it was just a beautiful and special thing for us to be a part of that, and also to see how a story like that can connect with so many different people with different backgrounds and experiences.
Yeah. Rafik, I really appreciate your long answer, but I didn't even ask any question yet about the film. So the question is, how did
this
you...
This is why it's dangerous to ask me a question.
Yeah, you slept over the previous minutes, and then you woke up and you just started to talk whatever your question was. So the question was, actually, maybe you answered it, but the question was, how did you found yourself in that special universe of the film? Because that's a very special place where it takes, and it's always interesting with a different aspect, this aspect now, the music, how you find it. So this was the question.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons the Daniels came to us is because I think they saw, they needed a multiverse of music, and we are a multiverse band. The Daniels loved Rafik's music. They loved Ian's music. They loved my music. And then they also loved the music that we make collectively as Sunlux. And one of the great joys of this film for us was that we could be ourselves, because it's the reason why we got involved. We didn't get involved because we had done a bunch of movies together or were, film composers in the traditional sense. The Daniels loved our music, and so they invited us to be a part of this incredible endeavor. At the same time, this movie was also, and the process of making it was also, the perfect excuse to discover other versions of ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Discover, a parallel universe.
Did you need to excuse Ryan. Yourself?
I didn't think about it like that. You mean like set ourselves aside and find? I didn't think about it like that. I thought about it more like, Michelle's character, Evelyn, the main character, where, she's constantly discovering, other versions of herself and the potential that lies in seeing herself through a different lens, imagining a different universe for herself. I think that's what we try to do musically.
Yeah. Do you sometimes think about another version of yourselves when you are on tour and everything happens every day, the same things happen? Do you?
Yeah, I think all of us probably have some version of that. Like, being on tour is a very specific, and it's not a very normal type of lifestyle, so... Yeah, I think these are kinds of questions that are healthy to ask, but sometimes I'm like, what if I didn't tour so much? Or another thing about touring is like, you see so many different places and so many different people and so many different cultures. It really like opens your minds to other perspectives and value systems. And maybe it's not so much being like, oh, like what if I like was born and raised in Poland, but like you can kind of like see like how like what who we are is like made up of like where we're from so much, I think, is something that you can kind of feel when you travel a lot.
Yeah, you're constantly reminded of that.
Yeah.
You maintain a very special connection with your fans. This is what I actually see on live videos. And it's really interesting to me when you try to give so much of yourself to the people. It's not just about music. It's not just about a performance. It's about you personally. Does it make you even more tired when you are on tour than as if you made it only with the music? But actually, you can say it's not true. I don't know. This is what I saw.
I think in a way, it's like playing the music for people and like engaging with them in shows is, I mean, it's physically tiring, but it's not, it's incredibly kind of, it fills our cups too in a lot of ways. Although I will say that one thing that our management is always bugging us about, they're just like, you need to engage more on social media. Mm-hmm. do be more connected to your fans like online. And that is something that I will say, like, you know, if I spend a bunch of time doing that, like for whatever reason, I feel tired. Yeah. It is tiring. Yeah.
I think in a way it would be a lot more exhausting not to strive to create a unique. So you know, and this is part of your last question. I think we have the opportunity when we perform live to find different versions of these songs, alternate, you know, universe versions of these songs. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but every time we perform, you know, it's unique. And I think that's part of the process of keeping it fresh for ourselves, keeping it energizing. But it's also a part of making sure that each performance is like a unique gift for that audience on that night and that moment between us brothers. And I think it's, you know, that it's intangible, but I do think that that is an aspect of why it's both hopefully generous, but also like it's very energizing for us mm-hmm. to think of it that way. So I think it goes both ways.
Tomorrow you get a break. How you spend it? Will you get some relax?
We don't have a break tomorrow. No. There's no break.
No break, but tomorrow you don't play. Do you play tomorrow?
We play in Krakow tomorrow.
Krakow tomorrow. Okay. For some reason, I just saw Dunks and then Budapest. I don't know why.
Oh, man. A day off in Krakow or Gdansk would have been really nice. But
I think it's because Krakow is sold out maybe in... I don't know.
I don't know. But it's... My phone was telling me that low on battery, but we still good.
It's running out of battery, right?
Yeah. But if we had a day off, we usually like to, you know, go see some sights in the city, eat some good food, get some good rest. You know, we're pretty simple people.
What's the plan for the rest of the afternoon?
We have the rest of our sound check, and then after that, usually we just kind of like eat dinner. We like to, tonight I'm planning on watching the whole set of our opener, Anna B. Savage, who's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's been joining us on stage as well for a song. And that's been really fun. But yeah, not too much. Hopefully maybe I'll take a nap on the bus.
tour life. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Tell me.
Sorry. Yeah. No, nothing.
Just forget about it. Just leave it. Okay. Guys, thank you so much for your time and have a great show tonight. And see you in Budapest.
Thank you very much.
16th of June.
Looking forward to the Budapest show.
Hopefully. What are you saying to the Hungarian fans? Do you have any message? Such a shit question. Such a asshole.
We love our Hungarian fans. We've loved playing Budapest over the years.
Yeah.
And we're just very excited. So
yeah, excited to create another beautiful memory.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks guys. Thank you. Have fun and take care of yourself. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ciao guys.